podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. If you have a Pew Bible, that's on page 842. So Paul wrote two letters to his companion Timothy, at least the two that we have here in the Bible. There could have been more, but two of them are found in our Bible and they are scripture. Timothy was one of his closest co-workers that he respected, that pastored the church at Ephesus and led for a time there. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting, we'll just read verse 5 this morning. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the example and the legacy of faithful mothers. Help us today as we look at your word to understand and, Father, to be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I am a mom. I am a mom who tries to feed her kids as healthy as she can, but sometimes is just fine with them eating Cheez-Its for dinner. I am a mother who has plopped her kids in front of the TV more than once so that I could complete a task uninterrupted. I'm a mother who has taken the batteries out of super annoying toys. I'm a mother who has yelled at her kids and taken out my bad mood on them more than once. I'm a mother who has apologized to her children. I'm a mother who likes the idea of playing more than the act of playing itself. I'm a mother who's had her heart broken in two when she couldn't mend her child's broken heart. I'm a mother who has sat up all night watching over a sick child. I'm a mother who stayed up till 4 a.m. making a Hot Wheels birthday cake to fulfill a 4-year-old's birthday dreams. I'm a mother who realizes that I can only do what I can do, and what is out of my hands is in bigger hands, my Father's hands.
I have met some really fine mothers in my life. I need to say that this morning because my mother is here. My mother-in-law is here. My wife is here, of course. And these are some of the best mothers that I know, honestly speaking. And there are many very successful mothers in the room today. Many who have done a tremendous job. Many who are doing a tremendous job. And many who will be wonderful mothers someday. But one thing is certain, there are no perfect mothers. Can we confess that this morning? There are no perfect mothers. As hard as you might try, you will not be a perfect mom. You will let your children down at times. You will lose your temper. You will make mistakes. You will mess up. But the measure of a godly mother is not perfection, but faith in the Lord. But really, that's the measure of a godly person, not perfection. We try our hardest by the power of the Holy Spirit, but truly it's about our faith in the Lord and walking with Him. So this is a difficult time to raise children because it used to be that if you sent your child out into the world to the public school, to Boy Scouts, to Girl Scouts, to Sunday school, to summer camp, that they would learn about God in those places. They would learn the golden rule. They would learn the Ten Commandments because such things were taught and recited. The culture would reinforce what you're outside the home, what you are teaching them about right and wrong inside the home. But that day is gone. The culture that we live in does not reinforce faith. You can't depend on the world to shape your children into godly people. If our children are going to learn about the Lord, they're going to have to learn it from us, imperfect us. So during the days of the early church, when the Apostle Paul was still traveling from town to town, preaching the gospel and planting churches, he came upon a Roman city called Lystra. And there in that city, he began to teach about Jesus. And Acts chapter 16 tells us some of the people who came to believe in the message. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So there are a couple of observations we need to make about this young man named Timothy. First of all, Timothy was raised in an ungodly city. An ungodly city. The city of Lystra was known for its worship of mythological gods. Right? Who in our day and age still worships Zeus? Do you know of anyone who worships Zeus? See, that is a mythological god that we learn about in school, but not a real god. But in those days, the people of Lystra had a temple near the gates of the city for the worship of Zeus. And when Paul healed a lame man there in the city, the citizens assumed that he was Hermes, the messenger of Zeus, and that Barnabas was Zeus. And they had to explain to them that, no, we have done these things in the power of Jesus Christ. Those people did not know the God of the Bible. They only knew the false gods of their culture, kind of like where we live today. People are worshiping all sorts of gods, but they are the gods of our culture and not necessarily the one true God. So Timothy was raised in an ungodly city with many ungodly influences. But secondly, Timothy was raised in a home of divided faith. Maybe you saw that in that passage. The book of Acts tells us that Timothy's mother was Jewish, but had come to believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. But the passage says that Timothy's father was Greek. He was a Gentile. He was not a man of faith, apparently. And Timothy was raised in a home where his mother prayed, his mother taught him the scriptures, his mother told him all about Jesus, but his father didn't pay much attention to those sorts of things. So many boys throughout the centuries of the Christian church have been raised by believing mothers, but have fathers who had no interest in the Lord whatsoever. So many children go to church with their mothers, while their fathers stay at home, unconcerned about matters of faith. And some young men get the message, and they learn early and often that faith in Jesus Christ is for women. And so when they reach manhood, they turn away. Many of them grew up that way, and maybe some of you grew up that way. And that's how Timothy was raised, in an ungodly city and a home of divided faith. So he had two strikes against him. Nonetheless, Timothy was very highly regarded by the believing community, so that when Paul came to Lystra, he was commended to them as a man of God. So Paul chose Timothy to come with him on the rest of the journey and to be a part of their team. And Paul even left Timothy in Ephesus to help that church out in a time when they were in great need. So this was a man who was trusted. So in the midst of an ungodly culture and a divided family, how is it possible that Timothy developed into such a godly young man, in spite of those two strikes against him? Well, the answer is found in the passage we just read. It is Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, which says, "I am reminded," as he writes to Timothy, "of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." A beautiful verse about the impact that mothers can have on their children when it comes to faith. So what is sincere faith? What is this that Paul's talking about? Well, it's when you believe no matter what the circumstances. It means when it's a good day, a sunny day, or a rainy day, a horrible day, no matter who's watching, no matter who isn't watching, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you do the right thing, not expecting anyone to notice. It's about genuine, sincere faith. Now, Paul did notice, however. He looked at Timothy's faith and he said, this is real faith. This is genuine faith. And he was able then to trace that faith through his mother Eunice all the way back to his grandmother Lois. And in a situation where the Word of God has no chance, Timothy was given a chance because of these godly women, a godly support system. And we know this about Timothy. He's a man of the Word. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. You know who it was that taught it to you, and how, Timothy, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means. He had a grandmother and a mother who taught him the Bible, the Scriptures, from the time when he was an infant, that they told him the stories of the Old Testament. So recognize that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, was a Jewish woman who didn't know Jesus. She just trusted in the ways of the Jews and worshipped in that way. And then Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a woman who followed in the footsteps of her mother, Lois, and worshipped as a faithful Jewish woman. But then somewhere along the line, Lois and Eunice found out about Jesus Christ and they trusted in him as their Messiah, to the point where they were able to pass down that faith to Timothy. From the time when he was an infant, they taught him the Scriptures. And Timothy was a man of the Word. So, even though Timothy was raised in an ungodly city, even though Timothy was raised in a home of divided faith, Timothy was raised with a heritage of sincere faith. So Timothy had a grandmother and a mother who spent time with him from the time he was just a baby, pouring the truth of the Word of God into his life. And then when they became convinced that Jesus is the Lord, they passed their faith down to him. And the whole city knew that here was a young man of faith and integrity, so that when Paul came, they commended him to Paul, and Timothy would become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he would become a companion of Paul. Very valuable in Paul's ministry. So let me point out this morning that there are some things over which we have very little control as human beings, and especially as mothers. There are some things that you wish you had control over, but you just do not. The culture in which our children are growing up is out of control. And sometimes our own situations at home are beyond our control. And our children are growing up in less than perfect conditions. They are not growing up in a world that affirms their faith. They're growing up in a world that challenges their faith. And they're growing up in a world where the influences that come into the home through things like television and the internet are all challenges to their faith. And our children are being raised in this culture. But that doesn't mean that they are doomed to ungodliness. So what's the secret? What is the secret? For Eunice and Lois, it was what Paul called sincere faith. So again, what is this thing we call sincere faith? Well, some of the other translations of the Bible call it authentic faith, unfeigned faith. The word in the original language literally means faith without hypocrisy. It is a faith that is not just about the lips, but a faith that is about the life. So what Timothy learned from his mother and from his grandmother was that faith is not just something you talk about. Faith is not something you celebrate on Sunday. Faith is something that you live every day of your life. And so Timothy was raised in a home where he heard about faith, but where he also saw faith through his grandmother and his mother. And eventually that faith became his very own. And he had that same sincere faith. Not that they were perfect. They were not. But they believed in Jesus, and they made it clear by the way that they lived their lives. Such people, like Eunice and Lois, are the unsung influence in the life of God's church. I'm glad that Paul pointed them out for us in his letter to Timothy. So some of you here this morning have been raised in a home where you have experienced the faith of a Lois and a Eunice. You can trace your faith back to your grandmother and your mother. Your grandmother has spoken faith into your life and has demonstrated faith, and your mother has spoken faith into your life and demonstrated that faith. And if that's true of you this morning, would you raise your hand? I can raise my hand this morning and say that's true. Look how many hands there are around the room. Yeah. What a wonderful legacy that is. So if that is true of you, you had a great advantage growing up. Praise God for the grace that He has demonstrated to you. Because there are some here who maybe had to find Jesus on their own, apart from that type of influence. There are some here who may have had influences in the home that would turn them against Jesus. But you're here today worshiping Him. For those of us who have had a grandmother and a mother, a Lois and a Eunice in our lives, we praise God. You never know the lives that your faith might touch. It might even be your own children. So regardless of whether you were raised in a home where genuine faith was modeled as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility to live out your faith before others. Imperfections and all, it is our responsibility. And so I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers today, but I want to give you a word of encouragement and a word of challenge. Your faith matters more than you know, more than you recognize. Your children are watching you, and they learn about who Jesus is and what Jesus means by your example. And I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would have the strength and the power to be able to stand up and against this culture and to demonstrate to your children what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and that they, by your example, might learn and walk with Him all the days of their life. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they would pass down that same sincere faith to their children and beyond? So happy Mother's Day, but recognize this. There are little eyes watching you, and those little eyes grow up quickly. And what impact will your life have on theirs? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today, for the reminder today of who You are, of the difference that You make in our lives, of the fact that because we know You as Lord and Savior, we have salvation from our sins and eternity in heaven. And Lord, how important the message of the gospel is. But Father, I pray for those who are here today, because there are so many who have an influence in the lives of our children, but especially the mothers today. Father, that You would demonstrate Your faith through them, that the boys and girls of the future who will become the men and women and the leaders in the church will know who You are and trust in You as Lord and Savior. I thank You, Lord, that we've seen some this morning already who have obeyed You in baptism, and that that is a sign, Lord, that their faith is being passed down. May it continue. So, Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for the work that You are doing in our homes. And we pray for Your guidance and Your protection over those homes. Lord, that no matter what the world says, that within the walls of our home and in the hearts of our children, that You would be glorified. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.